Welcome to the Fox Pro Podcast, brought to you by Fox Pro Game Calls.
Welcome back to the Fox Pro Podcast. We've got the Shotgun Champs joining us today. Rusty Gamble and Richie Gonzalez are on the line, and we're going to be discussing contest hunting and their recent win at the Nevada Shotgun Shootout. Rusty, Richie, how you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How about you, John?
I'm doing good. Had a pretty big storm roll through Kentucky this past weekend, and it's kind of cooled things off on the backside. So I've got the rest of the week planned out where I'm going to make coyote stands in the morning, and I'm going to chase big whitetail bucks in the evening and the afternoon. So what do you think about that? That sounds like a pretty good plan, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Actually, just got back from a trip with Mike Dillon out to where were we at? We were in Oklahoma. Got to shoot some pigs. Got to shoot some coyotes. Shot my very first pig at night. I don't do much night hunting, so that was something a little bit different. So I've had a pretty active last couple weeks.
Very cool. That's awesome, dude.
What have you guys been into over the last little bit?
Go for it, Rusty.
I have not been into a whole lot besides work lately. We had a guy at work get hurt, so we've been covering a bunch. But
yeah. Well,
I went out hunting one time since that shotgun contest with my air gun and shot a couple coyotes with that. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I've never done that. Not with air guns. That do you like that? Do you enjoy air gun predator hunting?
I like anything that makes coyote hunting harder.
Right.
I get excitement from the harder it is, the funner it is for me.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it when Rusty takes the air gun because I get to play cleanup on the ones that take it and run. So it's been pretty fun to go with him on those hunts. But
hey, Rusty, does Richie try to shoot one out from underneath of you while you got that air gun?
Every once in a while, maybe, but he's usually pretty good at letting them get close so I can at least crack at them.
Yeah. Well, since we got you on here, Rusty, you're a newcomer to the Fox Pro Podcast. We've had Richie on here before. Won't you tell everybody on here a little bit more about yourself, Rusty?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not real good at talking about myself, but I started hunting, I don't know, when I was like 15, 16, just around here in Malad, and we used to go out. We actually got in a couple contests where we just drove around and would try and find coyotes to shoot at. And then my mom actually got me one of those little Cass Creek electronic calls for Christmas one year.
Yeah.
And we pulled off the side of the road, and I just hung that out the window and turned it on. And it was in the middle of winter, you know, like there was probably a foot of snow on the ground. And we had five coyotes run right to the truck.
Oh, my gosh. And
all of us tripping over each other trying to get out of the truck quick enough, you know. And after that, I was hooked. I tried for probably 2 years before I actually got one called in and killed. But
Yep. Yeah, that Cache Creek. You probably got lucky that you called him up to the truck like that. That's probably pretty awesome there.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely luck, but it was enough to get me hooked.
Yep. Now,
I've been doing it ever since.
And now the rest is history, right? You're from Idaho, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I know you've made a pretty big splash in the contest world, and that's one thing I just want to talk to you guys about. Now, everybody listening in, y'all got to know that Rusty and Richie probably ain't gonna give you too many secrets, but they might drop a golden nugget they wasn't planning on dropping. We'll see. If you guys don't want to answer some of the questions, you just say no comments. But Rusty, you and Richie just got finished winning the Nevada Shotgun Shootout. And tell me if I'm wrong, but Rusty, this is your seventh consecutive win of that event. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, they're going to have to change the name of that to the Rusty Gamble Hunt or something.
it's my favorite contest of the year. Not because I've won it every year, but just it's an up close and personal just high excitement the whole time throughout the contest. It's just a lot of fun.
Tell me about the Nevada shotgun shootout. It's, of course, called the shotgun shootout for a reason. It's shotgun only, right?
Yep.
And is it daytime and nighttime, or is it just daytime only?
Just daytime.
Yeah, so it kind of separates the men from the boys when you start talking about shotgun only and daytime only. That's pretty – you was talking about you like things to be a little bit tougher. Anything to give you a little bit of a challenge, that right there is a challenging hunt right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely got to get them in close, and there ain't nothing besides calling that gets them that close to you, you know.
Right. Now, Richie, you're no stranger to the shotgun shootout as well. I know, like we was talking about, you and Rusty were partners this year, and you all won it. But you've hunted it in the past as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah. And it is definitely a very challenging hunt. You never know what the weather conditions are going to be. It could be hot. It could be cold. You just don't know until that weekend out here in the West. And it's such a fun hunt. Like Rusty said, it's probably our favorite to do. I've hunted it with Nick in the past, Chance Boswell in the past. And it's just a good time, just good people. And it's just fun. And that's what we need to all get back to is just having a good time.
Right. Well, this past year, you decided you want to do a little bit more than just have a good time. So you teamed up with Rusty so you could win it.
Well, Rusty's, like you said, the season champ on this hunt. And the cool thing that Rusty likes to prove to the public and the other hunters out there that do it is that he does it with somebody different usually every year just to show that he can do that. You know what I mean? And hats off to him for, you know, inviting me to do it this year because it's just something I've always wanted to do. And we've hunted probably 3 or 4 big contests together, and we've always done well and, you know, got double digits. And it's just, we hunt hard. And when I hunt with Rusty, it's like I did CrossFit for 3 days straight afterwards. my legs are numb, but it's no joke. We run to and from the stand, and by the end of it, we are just toast.
Well, I know you two hunt quite a bit together, you know, outside of contest hunting, just pleasure hunting and stuff like that. But, you know, Rusty was saying earlier he likes anything that adds a little bit more of a challenge for coyote hunting. He must have been wanting a challenge to win this 7th straight title. That's the reason he picked you as a teammate. He thought that might hinder him a little bit, and he wanted to add to the challenge.
Yeah. Well, it's how it goes sometimes. But, you know, when you hunt with somebody so often, It's like really you're making music out there. You know, I know what he's doing. I don't even have to look over there. I can hear him move, and I know something's happening. You know, same thing with me. He knows what I'm doing. It's just over time that development in a team member is crucial to winning or even placing. So it's been really fun to just hunt, like you said, for fun. We hunt day, night. We go on, we film a little bit, and it's just a good time together. And I only hunt with a handful of guys, you know, and it's just about making memories with them. So if it's with a title or just having fun, getting pictures, and it's just what we enjoy.
Yep. No, that's good.
You got to tell John about the last stand in that contest
Let's hear it. So we. Obviously, this year, the contest, you were allowed to use e-bikes and e-scooters, and Rusty's got a scooter, and I borrowed a buddy's bike, and we undo them off the truck, and we're getting down to close to check-in time. We're like, we got to do one more stand. That's always the problem is, do we go in, or do you do one more stand? Well, we rolled the dice, and we did one more stand. We unhooked the bikes, and we went back in about a mile and a half on this little two-track, and it was like that untouched desert ground that had been rained on. So it was all pitted, but it was untouched.
Yep.
And there was some rolling hills and some cedars, and there was a bootleg canyon up to my left, and Rusty sat on my right about 50 yards from me. I always seem to take the downwind side. And here's a little nugget for you guys. Rusty's left-handed, so he sits on the right side of me, and he can pan faster to the right side, and I sit on the left of him. Yep. So we always plan that way. And it just so happened I was on the downwind side. And like I said, the Bootleg Canyon went up to my left and Rusty starts to call. And I, you know, corner my eye out of this little cedar pocket. I see a flash and I'm thinking it's a jackrabbit. And then it comes through again and it's actually a pretty big coyote. And they're it's about 40 yards. And then another one's behind it, about 30 yards pops out. Mm-hmm. So it's moving from my left to my right towards Rusty. And it's always a dice roll. Do you take the first one or do you wait? In a contest, you know, you try to just get at least one because it can sour very fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in ghillie suits, face paint, and they don't know I'm there. So I'm keeping myself calm, which Rusty knows is very hard for me to do because I'm a trigger happy person.
Oh,
and, you know, 40 yards, these coyotes are just on a Sunday stroll to the call.
They didn't have a clue.
It was so cool to watch them in their own element come from that distance. So I said, if I let this first one pass, I know Rusty will see him and I'll get the second one. And as soon as that first one passed, the second one was in the bushes. And I'm like, I got to let him clear. And when that opened up at 40 yards, I laid him down.
Yep.
With that Hornady BB. And Rusty immediately pulled the trigger right after my shot. So we got a double on the last stand
awesome.
For the 18, 19 coyotes. And off to check in we went. And I mean, it was, we stand up and Rusty looks at me and he says, it's like you knew what you was doing.
You made a good choice in partner, sound like Rusty.
Yeah. But no, it was a memorable stand. I actually kept the shotgun shell from that one and sitting with the buckle. So awesome. Pretty awesome.
Well, let me ask you that. Y'all killed 19 coyotes, right, to win it? Is that correct?
We did.
What was second place?
I believe 14? Craig Sandy and Chris Loper had 14, I believe.
Oh, really? Yeah. I know Craig. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic coyote hunter. He's from Idaho, too, as well, right?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he lives over in Boise area.
Yeah. What's that town? I used to go through Boise all the time. What's that next town right outside of Boise? Headed on 84 there.
Is it Caldwell, Meridian?
Nah, it's not Caldwell. It's
Is it before or after Boise? Because there's not really much after Boise other than the Oregon border. Yeah,
well, it's like you're headed towards Oregon. You get on Interstate 84 going
Ontario.
Nah, it ain't Ontario. Good grief. Thought y'all knew Craig Sandy. I'm trying to think what that town is.
Nampa,
Idaho. That's where he's from, I'm pretty sure. I remember Right is the next town out right there.
Yeah,
well, Craig and Chris had us beat the first day.
Yeah,
we were down two coyotes, I believe, to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering, you know, with y'all 19 and 14, it's a pretty good gap, you know, especially when you're talking about coyote tournaments. I was just wondering, you know, y'all decided to make that last stand and chuck two more coyotes up. I've heard people doing that, and, you know, that last stand that they made, whether they killed a single or double or whatever they made, that last stand caused them to win a tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Anything can change a contest in two stands, really. You could call a triple in or a quad. You just don't know.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you could be totally out of it, and a triple
there
or a quad
one,
automatically puts you right back in the ball game.
Yep. There was one year at the Idaho State Championship, I was doing it with Chance Roy, and I've done a lot of contests with Chance.
Yeah.
And we were down bad. We were not having a good contest. And we seen a guy at the gas station, and he had, I don't even know, he had a pile of coyotes, like just whooping our butt from the first day. On the second day, though, we were down, you know, we were like, we got to freaking hammer out. Our first two stands, we killed two quads in a row. We put eight coyotes in the truck in the first two stands.
They put you right back in it.
Yep, we're right back in it, and it was unreal. Two quads in a contest doesn't happen very often.
No. And you're talking about Chance there. You and Chance have won. I know you've won it once. The World's Coyote Calling Championship. Have y'all won it twice?
Yeah, we've won it twice.
Yeah, I think you guys are a very select few that's ever won two of the Worlds, I'm pretty sure, if my memory serving me correctly.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal in my book.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. It was definitely a goal that I had for a long time.
What about, are y'all planning on, is the World still a thing? I thought I heard that it sold. Is the World's happening this year?
I don't think anybody's really said much about it. From what I've heard, it's sold to somebody and it's not happening this year. But really? I mean, that's just hearsay, you know what I mean? So it's hard to say for sure. Nobody's come out and said that they're the new owner, and the old owner's not said anything. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they better be getting their butt in gear. They're going to do something special. They were going to do it this year. I mean, it's usually held in December, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen this year. And if it does, it'll just be a little dinky.
Yeah, ain't the same old world, is it?
No, definitely.
Unfortunately.
Not.
Yeah, that's a kind of a sore subject for a lot of people. But yeah, that's anyway. We're talking about the Nevada shotgun shootout anyway. But I was wanting to ask you guys, like, when you guys are heading into a tournament like this, let's talk about the preparation and scouting. How much scouting is actually involved, and how far in advance do you guys generally start trying to put pieces together?
So I normally, like in the past, I don't really honestly do a whole lot of scouting anymore.
Yeah.
I just got my spots that I go to and check, maybe a week or two before just to make sure that there's still good numbers there and, nobody's been hammering it real bad.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of my stands, it's not just one area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably, I don't know. We probably in the first day went 200 miles.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
Easily. In contests, it's not necessarily who can put in the most stands. I mean, yeah, that helps. But the big thing for contests is doing stands that
produce coyotes.
You're going to call in a coyote. Mm. Yep. Trying to just hit 100% stands. And, yeah, you might have to drive a little bit more, but I'd rather drive for a half hour than do 10 stands in a row and not kill nothing. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. And you just talked about like checking the week before and a couple weeks leading up. You talking about like you go in and like locate is what you're talking about, or are you just looking for sign or what's it look like?
Well, in the past, I to find my areas in good spots, I do a lot of calling through the summertime. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of calling, and I call and kill before contest. It doesn't make no sense to me to call them and then just
let them
run off. You know what I mean? All that does is make it harder for you to call them in next time.
Well, I'm assuming you go hunt areas and in the summertime, like you was talking about, and you get in some good denning type coyote action. Like I know you do a lot of decoy dogging. If you get on coyotes or really engaging dogs and stuff, it probably means you got a family group's going to be there that following fall and winter, right?
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I used to do a lot of howling and just locating, driving through valleys, in the middle of the night and just getting an idea how many coyotes are there.
Yep.
Normally when I go and check out an area for the first time, I'll do three stands through the valley. I'll do one at the first, I'll do one in the middle and one at the end, and I'll call and just like any other, just call and kill whatever I call in. And if I get one at the first of the valley and then 20 miles down the road, I kill another one another, you know, at the very end of the valley, I know that there's a whole bunch of stands in between those three stands that I just did and killed coyotes, that I can kill more coyotes. So I can go back to that area and then on a contest or whatever and hammer it out.
Yep. Now you're talking about covering a pretty good stretch of area right there. And earlier you were talking about one thing you're wanting to check is make sure, you know, other people haven't been hammering it too hard. So it sounds like you're talking about public ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say 90% of the land that I hunt is public.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? Oh, and the stands that I do, when I'm scouting or whatever, trying to find new spots, the stands that I do during that time are the most obvious, good looking, off the road, easy to hide your truck stands that I can find.
Right, right.
That way I know that if I'm calling coyotes and in the easy, perfect, good-looking spots, that people haven't been there hitting that area already.
Yeah, those hard-to-get-to spots are definitely going to be money then, aren't they?
Yep, yep.
Well, that's pretty impressive because you hear about some of these big tournaments that guys go in and they win, and especially guys that's maybe racked up, you know, numerous buckles and, you know, contest wins and stuff over the years at these bigger contests. A lot of times they're saving some private ranches behind locked gates that have untouched coyotes for a full year before they go on there and hunt them. So public land, doing this on public land's another, well, just like you're taking Richie as your partner, it's just adding another element of of some toughness there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I never really liked getting permission and having to deal with all the landowners. Yeah, it's just it's easier and funner to just go hunt.
Yep, yep.
And it makes you better, too. Oh, it really
100%,
does.
100%. 100%. Y'all like how I'm ragging on Richie?
Yeah, I get it. But that's why he also takes me to talk to the landowners if there is a private ground piece we want to hunt. He's like, you're better at it. So I go over and do the talk.
Rusty, yeah, that makes complete sense. He likes to talk, and I like giving Richie a hard time. It's like I've known Richie for a long time, just like I've known you for a long time, Rusty. We don't get to talk too much. You know, we've talked on the phone once or twice, but we followed each other on Instagram and all that stuff for years now. And I did the same thing with Richie. And the first time I ever met him in person, I guess, is that time we hunted down in Arizona, wasn't it, Richie? Me, you, and Al?
Yeah.
Well, the first we met up at Al's house. Al picked me up at Salt Lake City Airport, and Al don't live too far from there. And I think we was waiting for you to get off work and get in there, and we took off driving for Arizona. But when Richie showed up, you know, we shook hands and, you know, said whatever, and Richie was pretty quiet that afternoon and evening. He really didn't say much, but of course we was in the truck with Al, and Al loves to talk. He don't ever shut up, so it might have been part of it. But it was like Richie was quiet for this big long stretch, and then all of a sudden when he started talking, he never shut up. And he's still like that today. So I understand why you had him go talk to all these landowners if you ever go do that. I don't know if you had to get used to me or what, or if it was just Al overpowering everybody. But it was like, it's like nothing. And all of a sudden it started and never ended.
That sounds about right. But back to partnering, I guess that's what makes a good duo, is knowing whose strengths are good, where they are, and, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when we're on stand, I let Rusty call, and he's got his sequences, and I got mine. And if his aren't working, you know, halfway through the day, he'll tell me, hey, you give your style a try, you know. It's not very often, but, you know, that's just knowing that each of us have strengths and weaknesses is, you know, what keeps pushing us to the next limit. So
Right. Well, speaking of that, you guys, you know, partnering up and knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses and playing off that, you all were talking about setup there a little bit ago, like you like to set up Rusty on the right side because he's left-handed and you on the right because you're right-handed. When you guys are setting up these shotgun-type stands, tell us about how you all generally go in to look look how you set that up, like how far away from each other will you usually sit and that type of stuff?
We don't set a whole lot further apart. Like, I still like to be able to communicate. We don't use radios or nothing. So, you know, just close enough that you can hear each other move and that kind of stuff. But I always like to, whoever's calling sets back a little bit further, and then the person that's not calling sets a little bit, like he usually is always on my left side, and a little bit further downwind in front of me, more even with the call or whatever.
Yeah. But like you said, still close enough where if you need to communicate, you can, or you can hear some movement. Usually if you hear somebody moving a little bit, there's probably a good chance they're adjusting because they're seeing some coyotes coming, I guess.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what
– go ahead.
For the viewer, you know, like, or the listener, what we're saying on the downwind side is, you know, as Rusty's sitting up to the right of me, we're trying to keep that scent cone tight, and I'm sitting to where that line of his scent's probably – still behind me, so I'm cutting the coyote off before it can get to his scent on the downwind side, if that makes sense.
It wouldn't work real good later in the year just because the coyotes, they circle way further out. Early in the year, they normally just come right to the call. They usually go a little bit to the downwind side, but they're not circling like they do later in the year.
Those are my type of coyotes. I need those dumb ones like that and eager to come in.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, Rusty's got his route, and these stands that we're hunting in this particular contest is super, super thick. And when I say thick, sometimes he would shoot coyotes that I couldn't even know were there. And then it was a surprise for the coyote and a surprise for you, and the best one. The fastest one wins, basically, when it comes to these stands. So that's how thick of stuff we're hunting in this contest.
Yeah, some of the stands fastest one to the call wins the shotgun load, right?
Yeah. Yeah, some of the stands we couldn't see 10 feet.
Really?
And you're literally shooting a coyote as it jump. You hear them coming most of the time before you ever see them.
Yeah.
And shoot them as they jump over a sagebrush to the call.
So talking about stuff like that, I only see that. So you're all setting, you must be setting a call on most of these stands right on top, just right there with you, right?
Yeah, within probably 10, 15 feet.
Yeah.
There's some stands we're standing up in. It was so tall and thick.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm.
Well, you was talking about earlier, I mean, asked you guys about like preparation and scouting and stuff. It sounds like to be, I guess, efficient would be the proper term. To be efficient, there's still quite a bit, even though you don't have to do as much scouting as you used to do, Rusty, because you've learned these spots so much over the years and plus what you find out through the summer. But there's still a pretty good amount of preparation and, you know, some thought that goes in how you lay out the stands and what order and what areas you want to go to, I'm assuming. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a... I do a lot of driving around before and just making sure looking for pull off tracks to see if somebody's maybe done a stand a little bit down the road before. Yeah. Like if I see pull off tracks, I'll pull over and look to see if there's foot tracks walking out and stuff to get an idea of how pressured the coyotes are. And then also the spots that I do, they're, we go in a lot further with when we're doing shotgun contests. Wherever I know that the coyotes are coming from, instead of setting up on the hill, you know, up where you would normally call from, we go another 200-300 yards in and get down in the bottoms where they're more comfortable moving, where they circle to if you was up on the hill, you know what I mean?
Yeah, crowd that travel area or crowd that spot where they actually lay up. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, some of the coyotes in this contest, like it was, they were there within 30 seconds. So they
really,
we were setting up right on top of them.
Well, speaking of that, like when you all go make these stands, you know, you've got everything laid out, you know, what you're going to be hitting, what areas you're hitting and that type of stuff. And you was talking about some of these coyotes showing up so fast like that. And that means you're right on top of these coyotes. So your game plan is working, especially if you're calling them up that fast. What, like in your all's mind, like when you go in to make these stands, I'm sure you've probably got like a set time limit on how long your stands are actually going to be. Is there like you saying, hey, I'm just going to call 8 minutes here, I'm going to call 10 minutes or 12 minutes, whatever. What's that look like? Or do you even, you know, there's got to be a time that you've got to cut that stand off because you're shaving too much time off, because these contests are usually just like, what, a day and a half, and you got to get to check in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't say there's a specific time. It's just depends on the stand itself.
Right.
Like if we ain't got no birds showing up, everything's quiet, we're not seeing nothing moving, we'll get up and leave, you know, 6-7 minutes even.
Right. Right. What's the longest you'd set on stand? Like if, you know, say if you didn't hear a coyote howl back, or even if you're running sounds where a coyote would answer, but like you said, it just seems kind of dead, and you don't have high expectations. You know, how long? What is the longest you would set?
10 minutes tops.
10 minutes tops. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But there's some stands that where we walked over that little sand dune, Richard, where you shot the coyote behind you. We were there for probably 25-30 minutes before that coyote actually showed up.
Yeah, I seen a female on jump up on a sand dune, which was very rare in this contest because we were hunting flat stuff normally, but I seen one in the distance at about 300, and that's what made Rusty decide to wait and keep calling. And then it showed up behind me on the downwind.
Really?
And it pops its head up between this little berm, and all I could see was a face and ears, and I wasn't fast enough. I got my gun up and no shot. And
me and, you know, Richard both jumped up at that time too.
Yeah. And we're in ghillie suits with you. And sure, I mean, I went right into a kai-yai on my hand call, and Rusty kept calling, you know, with the e-call, with the X-wave, and it come back one more time. But I was ready at that time, and I got him right in the face.
Nice.
But
nice.
That female still sat out there on that sand berm about 300 and sat there and challenged. But she sent that mail in to kind of come and see what was going on.
It wasn't the coyote you saw out there. You actually called in a second coyote. Okay.
It was a second coyote.
It was barking and howling at us as we were picking up the other coyote and walking back to the truck. And I think that was the only coyote that whole contest that we could have shot with a rifle.
Yep.
Every other stand we did, everything that we called in, we got.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have any that circled or anything like that, or that we could see. I mean, we were so thick stuff.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff right there. One thing I was thinking about, you, I was talking, you know, talking about that stand taking so long to get one killed, but it paid off. Y'all put one in the truck. What about these stands you was talking about earlier, where you had some where y'all killed them within 30 seconds? You know, if you killed a coyote right off the bat, as soon as you started calling, like those 30-second stands, y'all jump up right away and gather stuff up and move on, or do you go ahead and keep calling for at 7 to 10 minutes, see if you can't get a second or a third?
Definitely we would keep calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever benefited us, but anytime we kill one right off the bat, we'll keep calling for a minute.
Yeah, 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 because you never know when you know, if you're in that loose – that loose family group right there, that single could turn into a double or triple pretty quick, or even a quad, like you was talking about that you killed two quads on that one hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did have
something. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we did have that one longer stand that I remember now. It was that pair that came in on your side that come off the hill, but it took, I mean, we threw everything at it. Between handballing and the e-call, it came in about, I think it was like 26, 30 minutes. The ones that you shot at like 80 yards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was the longest.
Well, do you guys have a pretty good mix of singles, doubles, triples, stuff like that, or were they mostly singles, doubles?
It was mostly singles.
Really? Really?
Yeah. I think we got two doubles.
Two doubles. And the rest singles to finish it off.
And this year, Rusty said to me in the truck after, you know, about after the first day, he said, there's something different about this weekend. Like he said, normally in this contest, he's getting just run over and he shoots over 150 shotgun shells at these coyotes in this contest. And I think we only shot maybe 40 rounds at the most.
Oh, yeah, if that.
So y'all was pretty much running like 50% on shooting and killing in.
They were just coming in and standing up, you know, just posting up at 10 feet or 30 yards. Yeah.
And that's a tough shot. A lot of people might not think it, but that's a tough shot.
The year that I did it with Tom Tanner, I even the years that I'd done it with Seth, we when we were calling, we were getting groups of pups coming in.
And that's what you want.
And that time of year, that's normal. Like, to get 3, 4, 5 pups running in a group. We didn't have that one time this year.
Yeah.
And normally you're emptying your shotgun when you get the groups coming in, you know, and just going through tons and tons of bullets. But this year, we definitely saved a lot on ammo.
Well, one thing I was sitting here thinking, y'all had to be pretty daggone efficient getting in the stands, getting out of stands, getting to stands, all that type of stuff, because you're talking about all these singles. You killed 19 coyotes in pretty much a day and a half, and 15 of them were singles. So you only killed two doubles, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big feat if you think about it, because I'd say there ain't too many people that finishes off in the teens and killed that many singles and won the hunt. You know, usually you got to be picking up those multiples, I would think.
Yep. Well, the only thing that I can put that to is the stands. The stands that we're doing, I've killed dozens and dozens of coyotes at the stands. And you got stands that you know for a fact you could go to right now and call in a coyote.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just got enough of them out in that area that I know are good stands. Like the last stand that we did, we drove, I don't know, it was probably 60 miles to get to that stand. And I was like, I promise you, Richard, it'll be worth it. I drove past it twice trying to find it, just because it was such a, it's a random spot out in the middle of nowhere, but there's always coyotes there.
Right, right. Well, it paid off, sounds like. How many blank stands did y'all have? Do you even keep track? Was there too many? Was there many of them?
I'd say it's probably half and half. So there, it was probably 50%.
Yeah.
But we did a lot of stands.
I bet we did 25 stands the first day at least, and then probably another 14 the second day. And I mean,
is that type of number you're talking about, that many stands those days? was that kind of like a target? Hey, we need to make X amount of stands before we can be in the placing in this contest or winning it. Kind of have that mindset going into it or no?
My mindset is just be hustling nonstop. It doesn't matter how many you do, just the ones that you do them as quick as you can and get back to the truck, get everything loaded back up and on to the next one as fast as you can. I've never really kept track of how many stands we've done. We do a lot, but just being consistent and doing as many as you can. And making sure that they're good stands that you know what I mean?
Right.
And not only that, you know, being consistent means like being consistent on how you load your gear in and out of the truck every time, knowing that when a coyote hits the ground, I was the one running back to get the tags and write everything down, get the phones for the video. Rusty would go and drag them back. I mean, it was just clockwork. We eat on the go. We don't stop and take a lunch. We didn't stop and, you know, go have a drink at the bar. You know, we just never stopped.
Right.
The whole time.
So just grinding and pretty much like your mindset for how many stands you're going to make is just as many as you can squeeze in practically.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you got to go to the bathroom, you know, someone's by the truck going to the bathroom and someone's right there doing a stand, you know, if it's that thick, so you don't, there's no breaks.
Or you'd be peeing as you're walking, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what it takes to beat some of these guys out there. I mean, there's some straight killers out here.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, there's tons and tons of excellent contest hunters out there. And, yeah, you've got to be – that's the name of the game, because I'm sure there was two or three other teams, if not many, many more, that was doing the exact same thing, hustling just like you guys were. Just put it all together, you know, better than the next guys.
Well, yeah. And there's contestants in these contests that Rusty's hunted other contests with, so they understand and know how hard he goes, and they want to win. They want to beat him, you know, just like in a contest that I do against Rusty. I want to beat him. I don't want to put my money in there and just hope. I'm trying to win, and that's what you have to go into these contests with, that mindset that you're going to win. If you have any doubt, then you shouldn't even try.
Right. Well, it is kind of like you know, certain corners of the country, especially out west, you know, if you see Rusty's name on the ticket there, it's entered up, he's automatically a favorite or the favorite. So that is who you're gunning after. You know, if you beat him, you got a chance to win it all.
He told me in a contest we did last year, he goes, make sure you bring about $2,000 in cash, because the Calca is going to be hammered to get me. And I was like, really? I don't want to just have $2,000 sitting in my pocket, or, you know, just to try and buy us out or whatever. And it's no joke that, you know, and that's what makes a contest great. Like when Big Al and Garvin competed a bunch, people came to that contest to kick their ass. Yeah. And that's, competition, and that's how you get better, and you want to go against those guys, because it makes you go harder, makes you better. And then at the end of the contest, you get to joke around and talk about the contest and learn a few things, you know. So going to check-in is actually really important too.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well, speaking of that, Rusty, you know, how's it feel knowing that everybody's gunning for you, that everybody's trying to take you down to that first place spot?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I figured you did, or you wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah,
he does. He thrives off it.
It sounds stupid, but I even like it better when I get beat, especially by somebody I know.
Yeah.
Because then it makes me try even that much harder the next year.
Yeah.
The contest, like the contest mentality. It from back in the day when I first started going, and I was the one that was trying to, you know, do good and beat all the old timers that were bringing back piles of coyotes. Yeah. When, you know what I mean? Thinking, they got to be doing something illegal. There's no way they're killing that many coyotes.
Right.
And then
right.
I just couldn't put it together in my head. Like, how the heck are they doing this? And I had an old timer take me on a contest, and it was funny because the weekend before I had went and hunted this area and didn't do any good, which, you know, that doesn't say anything really, because one weekend it could be good, the next weekend not.
Exactly.
But he was taking me, and he'd be like, he was an older guy, you know, so he was just sitting in the truck, and he'd take me and be like, okay, you go over and sit by that rock over there, and I'll go up the road and sit and wait for you. Wait till I hear you shoot, and then I'll come back and pick you up. And it was, I don't even know how to explain it. It was the same areas, but it was where he was placing me in, like, just random spots out in the middle of nowhere, and the coyotes would be there in, like, 30 seconds or, a minute or two.
Made all the difference in the world.
Blew my mind on how important the location of where you're setting up. Like, you could be 100 yards over to the left or whatever and call that spot the exact same day, and you wouldn't have called nothing in. It, like, just where you're setting at is so important.
100%. Yeah. And that's a thing for, you know, not just contest hunters. You know, the thing with Fox Pro, like this podcast, the reason we do it, you know, we want it to be entertaining and stuff. But one of the biggest things, we want to educate people. You know, we want people to be successful out there. If you're going to use our products, we want you to have a good time with them. A lot of our other accounts are very educational based. One of them's like TikTok. We got a TikTok account, and we're always answering questions on there. And we had one come through today. Guys asking, you know, hey, I do everything you guys talk about, and I listen to all these other guys that are well known in coyote hunting, and they give me tips, and I go out and try to use them. I call just like you guys do. I use the same equipment you guys do, and all this stuff. And he's like, man, I can get coyotes to answer me if I don't ever get no coyotes to show up. And I just today, that type of question, I tried to explain to him, like, guys, you know, you can do everything right as far as, you know, hitting the right buttons or squalling on that mouth call the right way or howling on that mouth diaphragm and all that good stuff. But proximity to coyotes and setting your stuff, your stand up, is make or break. These, you know, there's just so many people that can't get into their mind that you can't just call up a coyote from any place you just randomly decide to sit. There's a lot more goes into it than pushing the right sounds, buttons on that remote, or blowing a call the right way. It has tons and tons to do with proximity and where you actually place that call and place your butt.
Yep. And the only thing that can get you to that mindset and that experience is the time in the field. Like Rusty was saying, that old timer took him on that one trip. That old timer that we both know, that Rusty introduced me to, he has over 40 or 50 years hunting it out in this desert. You know, it's amazing to just sit and listen to him. And one day I hope to even get to hear him on a hand call, because the guy is just a wealth of knowledge. And he's one of those guys that you'll never see on social media. So you got that crowd out there too.
Yeah.
That doesn't get online, and they're just go and kill. And some of those guys you're competing against.
When you guys were, one thing I was wanting to ask you guys was talking about setting stands up and calling, how long your stands were and stuff. I wanted to ask this one here. How many sounds on average do you all play out on one of these contest stands where you're just calling 7 to 10 minutes?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I usually will, because every day is different. Every day they're coming to a different sound or a different sequence. Or I start off every contest. I start off usually with like a rabbit distress or something, because you have those days where they just run you over coming to a rabbit.
Yep, you're right.
But that doesn't work. I never even usually give breaks in between the sounds. I'll just turn on a sound, and if it doesn't work, you know, for a minute I don't see nothing, I just push another sound. Yep. And I'll do birds distress, fox distress, like it just keeps switching them until something starts working. And then usually that day, once it starts working, it's going to work for the rest of the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's you're gonna stick with the sounds, move those sounds up that you're getting success with.
Yep. And then once you get a little sequence going of one that's worked a couple times in a row, very rarely do I switch from that after it starts working.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. One other thing you was talking about there, you know, I asked, you know, how does it feel to have, you know, you got all these guys that's gunning for you, and you was talking about, you know, you first got started in the contest world, and you would see all these old timers bringing in these piles of coyotes, and you was like, you know, I need to get to a point where I could beat those guys. Is there, like, when you enter up in a contest, do you look and do you ever look to see who else is in it? You know, is there ever a time where you come across a name or a team that's entered up and you're thinking, like, man, I might have some trouble out of those guys?
Oh, yeah. every contest, there's multiple. Like, Craig Sandy, every contest he gets in, he is right there.
Like, he's a good one.
Yeah. he does really good. And the other old timer I was telling you about is Don Birch. Mm-hmm. He's an older guy, but he will bring back just as many as you, if not more, almost right. every contest. He's slowed down a lot the last couple years, but yeah, Don is the reason that I am what I am today.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
For sure.
That's awesome.
He beat me. I couldn't even tell you how many times. Just year after year, he beat me by one or two coyotes every year for as long as I did those Idaho State Championships and Nationals and all that.
Yep.
Every year it was one or two coyotes he beat me by.
Is it the first time that you beat him? Is that when me and you hunted the hand call contest together?
No. Well, me and Chance beat him. And
you beat him?
I think it was in the state championship, and then we beat him once in the Nationals. But I think don't quote me on that.
So I remember that was the first time I met him is when we did the hand call tournament, and you said after the first day, don't let up. This guy is the bee's knees. He's coming for us.
Yeah, I'm really bad at, I don't even know. If I think that I'm doing really well, I will kind of get laxed and not push as hard as if I think I'm behind.
Right, right.
If that makes sense at all.
It does. It does. It does for sure.
Yeah.
Well, before we still got a few minutes left here, guys. One thing I was want to ask you, tell us about your shotgun setups. Like, Richie, tell us what gun, what choke tube, that type of stuff was you running for this?
So I'm running a Winchester SX3 with a pistol grip on it, and I run a red dot on top. It's mm-hmm. a sight mark red dot with a big sight window, and I took the plug out, so there's no plug. Rusty's running the extension tube on his. I just haven't bought one of those. Yep. But it's just a simple SX3. They actually made an SX3 Coyote, and I'm running the Rob Roberts T2 choke in it.
Okay, nice, nice. And you said you shoot Hornady BBs, I heard you say earlier.
Hornady BB, and then Rusty was kind enough to share a couple TSSs with me after.
I told you about the TSS stuff. You thought I was joking, didn't you?
Oh, my Lord. You were not joking.
They hit hard.
At 50 yards with that two shot, it was peeling their eyelids back. Like, I couldn't believe it. So next year I will be buying some of that.
Oh, definitely. What about you, Rusty? What's your shotgun setup look like?
It's pretty basic. It's just a Mossberg 930 Pro. With the Mossberg XXX full.
Yep.
I did buy a suppressor thinking that was going to be the bee's knees, but those things are pointless on a shotgun.
I've heard that from a few people. That kind of breaks my heart because I love the idea of it.
Oh yeah, they look cool. They're fun to shoot and everything, but it gives you absolutely no benefit. If anything, it hinders you just because it makes your gun so much longer and awkward. You can't see your sight as good. Like, I don't run a red dot or nothing. I tried that and I had issues hitting running coyotes and then the battery dying. Yeah, I got rid of that right quick after I started with it.
Yeah, yeah. What about, what was y'all's, sound like y'all had some, I think you said earlier, 10 feet. What was y'all's closest kill and what was your furthest?
I shot one at, I think it was like 86 yards with the
TSS.
Oh my gosh. One shot, one kill?
Yep. And then I shot one at, I don't know, 2 feet.
Oh yeah, first morning, second rolled,
it about rolled right onto me when I shot it.
Oh my gosh, that's
I was looking out the corner of my eye and I could not believe he let it get that close. Like, you know when you shoot them with a shotgun close, they kind of do that, like when they're jumping, they kind of do that limp in the air kind of thing.
Yep.
It was like slow motion and that, and it landed pretty much at his knees. And I'm like, oh my heavens, how did you let it get so close?
Well, you don't want that. Hey, those are the best ones. You don't have to drag them as far. You don't have to go get them. They're there with you.
It was awesome. And the 86 yard shot one that he had, our line of sight was really different. The thick brush, the sage, and he shot and it ran. And then I saw the tail flip up and he's like, it got away. And I'm like, I don't think so, dude. I'm like, you better go look. Sure as hell, that thing was laying.
It was laying in the bush right where it went out of sight.
Well, I'll tell you, from 2 foot to 86 yards is a pretty good little stretch. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know what, that 86 yarder, tell you what, Richie, you didn't have a chance at that with them BBs. Rusty, I had a conversation with him before. I can't remember when we had this, Richie.
It was probably 4 weeks before the contest.
Because I think I'd asked you if you was going to be shooting TSS. Rusty, I said, when you tell people that it's never ran TSS, what the difference is, I ain't saying Richie was like this, but a lot of times they're like, they think you're BSing them. They're like,
oh, yeah. I wasn't a believer until I actually used it.
Oh, my gosh. You go from shooting a coyote with some BB, regular lead, copper-plated lead, or whatever you like to shoot, nickel-plated, or whatever, you know, number four bucks and, you know, whatever else is out there, double hot and BBs and everything else. You go from shooting a coyote at 45 yards, it'll flip-flop spin and take off running for 50 or 60 yards, and you might find him and you might not, to busting their hind end at 90 steps and are just stone cold chilled. You mean literally doubles your effective range.
I was blown away that we were shooting two shot.
Yeah. I've killed them. I've tested all kinds of different stuff. I've even shot straight number sevens and killed them. Pretty good little piece out there. You wouldn't believe it. But like stuff like number fives and number sevens, birdshot, guys. Birdshot is rough on them with TSS.
Right. We were almost ordered some, and from Foxtrot, the guys at Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Awesome Bryce, dudes. Yeah, awesome, Bryce, awesome guy. His shipment came in, and I wasn't, you know, I was the test before I went out and hunted this contest, and we just didn't have the time. So
that's who I got mine from was the Fox truck.
Right. Yeah.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude too. Fellow hunter, fellow coyote hunter, fellow turkey hunter. He's a good, old Bryce.
That I told him that we were wanting something that we could reach out and touch, you know, at 100 yards.
Yep.
And he's like, oh yeah, this stuff will do it. And I was like, all right, well, I bought, shit's expensive. I bought 25 bullets and We made it right to the very end of the contest without shooting all of them. I have maybe four or five left, but
man, they're worth it, especially when there's money on the line or you want to make sure you shotgun a coyote. It's just it's tremendous stuff.
The difference, like Rusty pointed out to me on the contest, it was like we were shooting a basketball of BBs at them the whole time. It just held tighter longer, and it was hammering them.
Yeah, and you know, it carries that energy out there that you need too. It's just like I've literally shot coyotes, we'll say just a straight number fours, and I'm not talking about number four buck. I'm talking about number four birdshot, and shot coyotes like in the snow at like 65 yards, 70 yards before, and go up to the coyote and pick it up. And then on the back side of the coyote will be little dots of, you know, where you pick the coyote up, there'll be little dots of blood in the snow. And that is the exit, not the entrance, the exit shot plumb through these things with number four birdshot. It's crazy.
Wild.
Yeah. So I've heard Torrey Cook, he likes shooting number twos. He's talking about shooting at coyotes that take off running, like, and he's running away from him. He'll shoot them in the back end and still knock teeth out of the front end.
Oh, I believe it.
I would say that's one of the biggest things in them, that shotgun contest. Well, just hunting coyotes with shotguns in general, using TSS or just regular number four buck or buckshot or whatever it is. If you can shoot the coyote before it realizes what's going on, your chances of getting that coyote double.
Oh, it just chills.
Before that adrenaline kicks in and all that, if he turns and runs, you have a lot, it's a lot harder to kill that coyote, or you probably killed it regardless, but it's going to run for a long ways.
Yep. Yep. No, I completely agree with that. I've seen it. I know you have too many times. Yeah, that's 100% right. Well, tell us real quick, what calls were you guys using? I know you said you all mentioned X-Wave a minute ago. Did y'all pack more than just the X-Wave?
Yeah, we did. Richard had the X360 out there and the X24.
Yep, yep. So
the X-Wave I really like just because I can play two sounds.
Yep.
But the small compact X24 is pretty hard to beat in contests.
Yep. Sound like it's helped you win several of them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've done really well with Fox Pros.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, go ahead, Richie.
I was gonna say that's another thing is, you know, preparation wise in any contest, we always bring 2 to 3, maybe 4 calls. We always have an extra gun each.
Yep.
You know, numerous amount of rounds. You just don't know what's gonna happen out there. You could get rain and jam a gun up, you could drop your scope. You know, anything
can
happen.
Call.
Yeah, I left my calls on the shotgun contest I did with Chance Boswell. We got back to the hotel room, and I left my call 85 miles out in the desert. He's like, I'm going to bed, and I had to go back out there and go get it. You know,
oh my 100, gosh.
Yeah, 160-mile round trip for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to bring extra gear. So
did you find it?
We did. I was right where we finished that day, for sure.
Well, what's next for you guys? Y'all got any other contests you're all planning to do for this season?
I got nationals out in Wyoming, the nationals and the state championship that I'm doing with Brady,
mm-hmm.
Born. And other than that, I really don't got nothing else on the books as far as I know. I know there'll be a lot of little contests here and there that I'll do throughout the year, but
yeah.
I haven't posted them yet or nothing.
Well, the Nationals has kind of resurfaced there, which is we're pumped to see. But there's one thing I was going to ask you earlier about, like this Nevada shotgun shootout. I know y'all killed 19 and won, but is it a straight numbers contest or is it a weight contest?
It's numbers.
Awesome. What at Nationals? I think it's weight now, isn't it?
So Nationals, I believe, is weight, but I think you do two contests in one. So you have the state championship and mm-hmm. Nationals, mm-hmm. and one of them is the 5 and 5, and the other is most. So I can't remember which is which. So you still want to get as many as you can, but
right, get that average up.
Get the 5 and 5 for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good stuff, guys. I really appreciate y'all coming on, and got to say huge, huge congratulations for winning the Nevada shotgun shootout to both of you. And Rusty, I'm telling you, a 7 in a row, it's awesome, dude. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
Didn't do it by myself. I mean, lots of good partners throughout the years that – have helped me do it for sure.
Yeah, except for Richie.
I like
give Richie a hard time. Richie's about as consistent as it gets. He knows his stuff. Richie's one of the better coyote hunters in the country, that's for sure. He's just so easy to give a hard time to. So
he definitely makes it easy.
Well, I'd rather be lucky than good any day. So
me too.
I want to thank all the listeners out there that tune in every week to Fox Pro and watch Fox Pro Hunting TV, and I want to thank Rusty for being one of my best buddies and letting me hunt this contest with him, and that's what I want to encourage everybody else to do is just get off the couch, get out there in the field, run your Fox Pro, and just go have some fun. If it's a contest or even for a fun hunt, just get outside. It's what we all need.
Yep. Yes, sir. And Rusty, I don't want to hunt no daggone contest or nothing, but when are you going to take me coyote hunting? I'm going to go coyote hunting with Rusty
Gamble. I keep telling you, every time I talk to you, you just tell me when, and I'll be there.
Well, we're going
you're,
to freaking,
you're the
we're
one
planning
that,
one.
You got all these hunts here and there and everywhere, and I just hope to fit in one day.
Well, hey, and
gonna,
I'll even
we're
gonna
make
I'll
it
video
happen.
It. Hey, I'll even well, video it for you guys.
It's coming together pretty quick then.
Sounds good to me.
Well, Rusty, you got anything you'd like to leave us with, buddy?
No, I appreciate you having me on, and I encourage everybody to, even if you're not into the coyote contest, go give it a whirl, because, I mean, the more people we have come to them, the better they are, the funner they are.
Yes, sir. It's a good way to support each other, and it is a lot of fun. You know, I don't do any contest hunting, but I always keep track with it. I love seeing what goes on during them. It is a good time. But everybody out there, we hope everyone enjoyed this episode. We hope you join us again right here on the Fox Pro Podcast.